Highbridge, a division of Recorded Books, presents A Brief History of Seven Killings by Marlon James. Read by Robertson Dean, Robert Eunice, Dwight Backey, Cherise Booth, Ryan Anderson, Jonathan McLean, and Tom Rivera.
Gonna tell the truth about it. Honey, that's the hardest part. Bonnie Raitt, Tangled and Dark.
If it no go so, it go near so. Jamaican proverb.
Sir Arthur George Jennings. Listen. Dead people never stop talking. Maybe because death is not death at all, just a detention after school. You know where you're coming from, and you're always returning from it. You know where you're going, though you never seem to get there. And you're just dead. Dead. It sounds final, but it's a word missing in ing. You come across men longer dead than you, walking all the time, though heading nowhere, and you listen to them howl and hiss, because we're all spirits, or we think we're all spirits, but we're all just dead. Spirits that slip inside other spirits. Sometimes a woman slips inside a man and wails like the memory of making love. They moan in keen loud, but it comes through the window like a whistle or a whisper under the bed, and little children think there's a monster. The dead love lying under the living for three reasons. One, we're lying most of the time. Two, under the bed looks like the top of a coffin. But three, there is weight, human weight on top, that you can slip into and make heavier. And you listen to the heartbeat while you watch it pump, and hear the nostrils hiss when their lungs press air, and envy even the shortest breath. I have no memory of coffins. But the dead never stop talking. And sometimes the living hear. This is what I wanted to say. When you're dead, speech is nothing but tangents and detours, and there's nothing to do but stray and wander a while. Well, that's at least what the others do. My point being that the expired learn from the expired, but that's tricky. I could listen to myself, still claiming to anybody that would hear that I didn't fall. I was pushed over the balcony at the Sunset Beach Hotel in Montego Bay. And I can't say, shut your trap, Artie Jennings, because every morning I wake up having to put my pumpkin-smashed head back together. And even as I talk now, I can hear how I sounded then. Can you dig it, Dingle Duties? Meaning that the afterlife is just not a happening scene, not a groovy shindig, daddy-o. See those cool cats on the mat? They could never dig it. And there's nothing to do but wait for the man that killed me. But he won't die. He only gets older and older and trades out wives for younger and younger and breeding a whole brood of slow-witted boys and running the country down into the ground. Dead people never stop talking, and sometimes the living hear. Sometimes he talks back. If I catch him right as his eyes start to flicker in his sleep, talks until his wife slaps him. But I'd rather listen to the longer dead. I see men in split breeches and bloody long coats, and they talk, but blood comes out of their mouths, and good heavens, that slave rebellion was such ghastly business, and the Queen has, of course, been of bloody awful use ever since the West India Company began their rather shoddy decline compared to the East. And why are there so many Negroes taking to sleeping so unsoundly wherever they see fit? And confound it all, I seem to have misplaced the left half of my face. To be dead is to understand that dead is not gone. You're in the flatness of the deadlands. Time doesn't stop. You watch it move, but you are still, like a painting with a Mona Lisa smile. In this space, a 300-year-old slit throat and 2-minute-old crib death is the same. If you don't watch how you sleep, you'll find yourself the way the living found you.